Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb,
Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And thou shalt renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Father.
I wonder, can you tell me what, see if you know, what ASAP means? Do you know, Ed?
As soon as possible.
What?
As soon as possible.
No, it's always say a prayer. You like that?
Yeah.
You're right. But one upmanship, right? Here's another question. How many people here are married? Who should make the coffee, the man or the husband or the wife? Claire, what do you think?
The husband.
Okay.
Whoever wakes up first.
Whoever wakes up first.
Whoever's going to drink it.
Now, there was once a heated debate between husband and wife for about a month, who should make the coffee. And the wife came one day and said, nuh-uh. Said the husband, you have to do it, because it's in the Bible. You know it's in the Bible? Listen, he brews. Ah.
Oh.
You got it?
I got it.
Just got it now, huh? Okay. It's the story of this couple that couldn't have children, and they had a really good friend with the priest who would come and have lunch about every other week. And he was sent to Rome to get his doctorate in canon law. So he said that he would light a candle in front of the statue of St. Peter in Rome, in the Basilica of St. Peter, that they might have a child. So instead of studying 7 years, he was there for 15 years. So when he came back, he wanted to visit this family friend. So he rang the doorbell, and one of the children opened up the door, and it was like a zoo. There was a child that was 14, 13, 12, twins that were 10, 8, 6, 4, 2. And the lady was pregnant with another child. And the priest said, well, where's your husband now? She said, he went to Rome. Why? To blow out the candle. Got that? Okay, this week, We're going to be following up on last week. And the purpose is to see now the consequences of sin. We saw how God sees sin, the divine perspective of sin, last week. Now we're going to see the consequences of sin as well as the last things. So the consequences of sin are, will be understood through the sin of David. And I'm not going to expound too much upon this for lack of time. I'd like to speak about the last things. But you're going to be meditating upon the sin of David, a couple of meditations to see how David, who was such a holy man, a man according to the heart of Christ, he fell and he really fell. He plunged into the mud, so to speak. And we invite all of us to meditate upon the sin of David and see if we can apply it to our own lives. David lived, he was a holy man. We get the Psalms in the Bible basically from David. But David fell. He committed adultery. Then he went into denial as to what he had done. And then he actually committed, he committed murder. And he wouldn't admit it until God sent him the prophet Nathan, and that woke up his conscience. And we have Psalm 51, the most beautiful acts of contrition you have in the Bible would be Psalm 51, which is the Psalm of David's repentance. So you see there that our actions have consequences. Call this the domino effect of sin. And at the end of last class, I gave you a very summary explanation of John Paul II in the five effects of sin, taken from Reconciliation and Penance. And they are the theological effect, the social, the personal, the ecclesial, and the cosmic. What does that mean? Theological, our sins hurt God. Personal, our sins, they hurt ourselves. JP2 calls it moral suicide when we commit a mortal sin. Moral suicide. Then, social, we hurt other people by our sins. Sins are not done in a vacuum, but they influence other people. And the ecclesial is that the sin hurts the church. Church is our mother and our teacher. And there's even a cosmic effect of sin. How sin even damages nature. So meditate upon the sin of David with that backdrop of JP2 and those five effects. Okay, then at the end of the class, I'm going to give you a few more rules for discernment. We went through rule 1 to 6 last week. We'll give you a few more rules for discernment. Within your life, you have to discern what comes from the bad spirit, what comes from the good spirit. These inner motions we have within us. That which comes from the bad spirit, obviously that's a temptation. We have to recognize it. We have to reject it. And we have that which comes from the good spirit is called a heavenly inspiration from the Holy Spirit. We have to receive that. I think I gave you the acronym BUT. How's your memory?
Be aware.
Be aware, understand, take action. Okay? Remember that? Be aware. You have to have your antenna, your spiritual antenna. Lift it up, understand where it comes from, then take action. Either accept it if it comes from the good spirit, reject it if it comes from the bad spirit. There you have it. Yep. Be aware, understand, take action. Okay, so I have to choose when I give my talks what to, should I expound more on the sin of David or on the other topic? I feel I'd like to talk about the last things and let the Holy Spirit speak to you more eloquently than I can on the sin of David. Try to apply that to your life. Okay, what are the last things? You have a degree in theology, it's called eschatology, the study of the last things, the eschaton, okay? And for Catholics, there's five, for Protestants there's only four. And they are death, judgment, heaven, hell, and we believe in purgatory. Death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Okay, let's start with a story from a Redemptorist priest. Redemptorists are known for their popular mission. They were founded by St. Alphonse Liguori. You can see, if you ever meet a Redemptorist priest, he will write at the end of his name, C-S-S-R. I write OMV, Oblate of Mary Virgin, right? Why would they write CSSR? Because it's the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, but they call them the Redemptorists. So you have this Redemptorist priest is giving a mission in the middle of Lent. So he starts to talk about this topic that I'm going to try to develop, and he says, you know, one day, everybody in this parish is going to be dead. People blanch because this guy was pretty blunt. He came on, but there was a guy in front with a like a white shirt and a tie on. He had a kind of smirk on his face. No? He came on again. He said, "One day, everybody in this parish is going to be dead." People blanched even more, and then the guy in front had this big smile on his face. So he pounded away even more forceful. One day, everybody in this parish is going to die. Then the young man started to laugh. And the priest said, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "I'm not from this parish." So whether or not you're from the parish of St. Pierre de Chanel or not, one day you're going to die. It's inevitable. As I said earlier, a Gallup poll says that 100% of the people living today one day will die. Yep. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about these topics that you usually don't bring up at the cocktail parties with your friends, huh? Pretty serious topics, huh? You're going to be talking about these things at the cocktail party or the or the reception after the wedding. After that, probably not. It'd be a good topic, though. I would if you invited me to the party afterwards. You never invite me back again, I'm sure. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, huh? Death. Death. Let's talk about death. I like to quote what I learned from a Argentinian elderly catechist when I arrived, my first mission, just recently ordained priest in the year 86, no? Long time ago. I remember this very, very holy catechist said, with respect to the death, "La muerte es lo más cierto y lo más incierto." ¿Habla español?
Yes.
La muerte es lo más cierto, pero es lo más incierto. ¿No es cierto?
Yes.
It's a good one-liner. But most of you are looking with a very quizzical look on your face because you don't understand Spanish, okay? So I'll translate it. Death is the most certain thing, but it's also the most uncertain thing. It's certain because none of us know the day, know the hour, or the manner that we're going to die. It's an enigma. It's a mystery. But it's certain because all of us were going to die one day. We know neither the day nor the hour. I'll give you an example of the two extremes. My grandmother lived in three centuries. You ever meet anyone that lived in three centuries? It's pretty rare. You're all shocked. Well, I'll tell you why. Because she's born in 1898 and she died 2002. So she lived to be 104 years old.
Okay? Wow.
You saw the invention of the airplane with Wilbur Wright and company and Henry Ford. She lived in Detroit, the invention of the car, then the TV came around, and you know, one of her worst enemies, couldn't stand him, Babe Ruth, yeah. Tiger fan. And she heard, he would listen to Babe Ruth on the radio, no? He'd come into Detroit, he'd hit two or three home runs and pound the Tiger, so she couldn't stand that guy. So death is, so I have a grandmother lived 104 years old. I have a little sister that lived 9 months.
Yep.
You know the stillborn baby is? The umbilical cord actually strangled my little sister. Yeah. It was, my parents have nine. Six, I think it was. I was about 8 years old. My parents had baby after baby after baby after baby after baby. So it was kind of a mystery. Why did her name is Joanie Broom? My mom gave her her own. My mom's name is Joan, so it was Joanie Broom. That was the name that was given to her. But you know, why? It's kind of a mystery, isn't it? But I say that because we don't know we're going to die. We could live to be 104. We could live another 2 hours, no? On the way back, it could be a crash on the freeway. It could happen, right? I don't want to scare you, but life is very precarious and uncertain. How would you define death? Well, doctors have one definition, and I have another one, okay? My definition, theological definition, is the separation of the soul from the body. You like that? So when the soul leaves the body, that's the theological definition. So the brain waves stop and the heart starts to beat. We have a couple of doctors here. They would give the medical definition. Not to say that they contradict each other, but the theological definition is a little bit different, right? The soul leaves the body. And it's not, can't always tell exactly when the soul does leave the body. Now let's talk now about what Jesus says about this topic. You know, the primary message of Jesus about death is this. Two words, and it's a command. It's the imperative tense, not the conditional or imperfect or present tense. It is, be prepared. Be prepared. Because we know neither the day nor the hour. Be prepared. We know neither the day nor the hour, like a thief in the night. What would happen if you spent maybe just 2 minutes every day thinking about death? I think it would be converted right away. Now, I don't always do this, but I posted on my Twitter last night one of the, something related to this. It's what Our Lady Fatima said. Our Lady Fatima, ever hear of her? She said, if we meditate upon eternity, we'd be converted right away. That's Our Lady Fatima. You hear that? Okay, you didn't hear me, okay? If we meditate upon eternity, we'd be converted right away. I don't even know what eternity is.
Forever.
It means forever and ever and ever and ever. Either salvation or damnation forever and ever and ever. So with these meditations and the last things, it's very opportune that you meditate upon also the reality of eternity. Our eternal condition is going to be forever and ever and ever, either with the Lord or separated from the Lord. So be prepared. You neither know the day nor the hour. So one of the parables that Jesus gives us, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, it's a parable of the rich fool. Maybe you don't remember. It's a short little parable which I think is so timely for this topic. It's the story of this farmer who had a good harvest. His harvest was so abundant that he didn't know what to do with the grain because the grain bins or the silos were too small to contain the harvest. So he did some brainstorming, as we say. And he came up with a great idea. I will tear down the barns and I will build barns that will be bigger and more spacious. Then, I will say to my soul, relax, eat, drink, and be merry, because you have a long life. Enjoy life. Jesus says, you are a fool. You're a fool. Because this very night, your life will be taken from you. And where is it all going to go? That's Jesus Christ. You are a fool. If you're just living for this life and you don't have your eyes and your mind and heart fixed on heaven. Let me tell you the two worst things in the world related to this topic. One is to commit a mortal sin. What's a mortal sin? Mortal sin, three conditions are grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. That's a mortal sin. But there's something worse than that. And it's this, dying in mortal sin. So mortal sin is serious. But dying in the state of mortal sin is the worst tragedy that could befall any of us. You English majors, maybe remember when you studied Dante for the first time. Dante presents hell and he says, whoever enters into this place, abandon all hope. In the very arches at the beginning of his treatise on the Divine Comedy, entering into hell. All those who enter here, abandon all hope. There's no hope if you lose God. It's gone. It's lost. So those are the two worst things. Mortal sin, but even worse than mortal sin, it would be to die in mortal sin. We should never lose hope. But if we have the tragedy of committing a mortal sin, we should try to go to confession as soon as possible. If you like, to not allow the sun to go down upon our sinful state as such. Well, let me tell you something that's going to be really encouraging for all of us, because we're all weak. And probably none of you, except those who've maybe heard me before, have not been mentioned. I brought this in only the past 6 months. Is this. Okay, say for example you commit a mortal sin, and there's no way to get a priest before you go to bed, no? Because there are less and less priests. And the priests that are present, we're always way overworked, okay? I was thinking that if I were a professional baseball player, I would have retired 22 years ago. I'd be retired, no? Last week, I think more than once, I had like one of those 15-hour work days. You have one of those, no? As I were playing for the Yankees or something, I'd be retired already 21 years, no? I feel as a priest, I'm in my prime now. But you can't always find and tackle a priest, okay? So what's the remedy? Now this was taught, my mother and the Dominican nuns taught us this back, before some of you were born, no? But it was a good education you probably received, but the Baltimore Catechism, the good solid nuns, right? It's this. Let's present the scenario. Okay, you miss Mass on Sunday, and it's pure laziness. Here you got this church, you got, nine weekend Masses. No, there's no reason. And choose your language, okay? I say pure laziness, not because you got, you're recovering from an operation or, Your little baby is sick in the hospital, you got to be there, there's no way of getting out of that situation. Pure laziness. What's that called? What type of sin is that? That's a mortal sin, obviously, okay? It's a mortal sin, and a very serious mortal sin, missing Mass on Sunday, no? It's not a minor mortal sin, it's a major mortal sin. People maybe don't recognize that, but I'm here to form your conscience, too. Miss Mass on Sunday, that's a very serious mortal sin. What would be worse, killing someone or missing Mass on Sunday? Obviously, missing Mass on Sunday. Because, why? Because, it's a direct affront against God, okay? So the greater the dignity of the person, the more serious the offense, right? Okay, so you commit that sin. And you can't get a priest. And maybe tonight you're gonna have a heart attack. We don't know. Oh, I'm young and strong, Father. Don't scare me. Okay, what you have to do is this. And this could be the salvation of your soul as well as your children if you understand the concept. You go in your room, close the door, and look at Jesus on the cross. And you see him being nailed to the cross, and you look at that, and you beg for the grace of a perfect act of contrition. Yeah. Beg for the grace of a perfect act of contrition. Which would be, you look at the cross, and you say, "Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee." And I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven, the pains of hell. But most of all because I offended thee, my God, who are all good, deserving of all your love. I firmly resolve with the help of the grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to mend my life in it. You say that from the depths of your heart, and you really mean it. You fear the fire of hell. Well, that's called imperfect contrition. But most of all because I have offended you, God, who are worthy of all my love, and you really mean it. After you've said that prayer, moved by the Holy Spirit, you've returned to the state of grace. Now, I notice this is a shock for all you people. This is huge. This is huge. So all of you are shocked. It has to be perfect at the contrition. Not a fear of the Lord, which is good. But it has to be done, and at the contrition, because you love God so much. And you don't want to do anything in your life to hurt the Lord. In that moment, if you say that with sincerity, you're in the state of grace. But then you have to go to confession as soon as possible. Is that clear? Hello?
Yes, Father.
And if you've learned anything in this class, if you learn that, it's a successful class. Because as it is, you're probably going to be seeing less and less priests. Okay. The vocations, they're not out there in this country. Okay? They're less and less. Well, prove me wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, no? But the vocation, as in general, are less and less. They're closing churches, no? Priests are getting old. They're retiring. They're dying, no? So we're going to be, we could be a rare commodity within the next 2 or 3 decades, okay? Okay, so that's one last idea on death. I was once teaching confirmation, and they asked my teenage boys that I teach, what would you like for your last meal? Tacos! Pizza! Big Mac! With papitas, French fries, okay? There was one person in the class who said, I'd like my last meal to be to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. That was me. Okay. That was me. I didn't care about the pizza. Hey, Father, not that. I think we'd like that also. What would you like your last meal to be? About a year and a half ago, my father passed away. It happened quickly. And my mother noticed shortly before he died that he was declining quickly. And she called the priest. And the priest confessed my father, gave him the anointing of the sick, and then gave him Holy Communion. And the following day, he was getting worse. And my mother went to the local parish and got communion, and she'd been a Eucharistic minister. She actually gave him Holy Communion. Then in about 2.5 hours, he was dead. So the last meal of my father was communion given to him by his wife, my mother. I love it. I love it. What a holy wife, huh? What a holy wife, huh? Yeah. I have 61 years of married life, right? They have a son who's a priest, me. Yeah, what's spiritual depth, no? No, I got to get him to heaven. That's what all spouses should do. Think about how you can get your husband to heaven. How can you get your wife to heaven? Right? Do you agree with that? Yeah.
Yes.
A couple years earlier, he seemed to have like a heart attack, but it was like stress. And the first thing my mother did was she called the priest, then the paramedics. Never heard that before. She called the priest first, then the paramedics. That's called living out principle and foundation. Focusing on getting to heaven. That's why we're here, to get to heaven. So death. And you know that the richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world ends up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. Okay? None of us can escape the reality of death. But we should prepare ourselves for death frequently. We'll say this in a more boast, eerie, apocalyptic way, but in a very sober way, that we should prepare ourselves to die. You know, I do it, I prepare myself to die every day about 150 times. Every day. 150 times a day, I prepare myself to die. You know why? I didn't think so I'll tell you. Okay, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. I usually say, almost always say, three rosaries a day. Sometimes four on a good day. Every day I'm preparing myself 150 times. So that when I am dying, the Blessed Mother is going to be next to me. Amen?
Amen.
I like that. Don't you?
Amen.
I like that. I want to die with Mary at my side. Mary's there, she's going to kick the devil back into hell. Amen?
Amen.
That's where he belongs, when I'm dying, right? Kick him back into hell. Going back to Dante again, in hell, you have this soul that's about to die. And the devil's about to grab onto him. And the devil says to Jesus, he's mine. Jesus said, no, he's not yours, because on one occasion, he invoked the holy name of my mother, and that's enough for him to be saved. Isn't it?
Oh my God. That's my
heart. Yeah. So I always try to promote devotion to Mary. Are you an expert in the life of St. Gemma Galgani? I didn't think so I'll tell you a story in her life. She had the vision of her guardian angel. She was a passionist that died only about 20 years old in the congregation of St. Paul of the Cross. And she was praying for the conversion of a sinner. He was dying, and he was a really hardened sinner. So Jesus appears, and she says, Jesus, convert the sinner. And he says, you don't know how many graces that he's rejected. So Jesus disappears, and she's praying again for the conversion of the sinner. Jesus appears, and she says, Lord, I beg you, convert this sinner. Jesus says, he's just flaunted all the graces I've given to him for many, many years. So Jesus appears again, and St. Gemma says, please convert this sinner. Jesus says, no. And then Gemma says, well, if you're not going to convert, I'm going to ask your mother. And he said, in that case, I can't resist conversion. Power of Mary. I love the saints. No? They're great, aren't they? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, the stigmata, yeah. Yep. Great saint, yeah. St. Gemma Galgani. The other day, one of our friends brought in the first class relic, and I was venerating it, a little bone of her. Yeah. I have a first class relic of Ignatius and the Curia of Ars in my room. Yeah. I'm in good company at night. So that's death. How would you like to die? The confirmation boy said, in my sleep, Father.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way we answer. No pain.
Uh-huh. Ed, who's an umpire, once told me a story of these two baseball players. They were like in their 90s, and they were asking each other, they're good Catholics, is baseball in heaven? Do you think there's baseball in heaven? You're not sure. So they made a deal. Whoever died first had to come back and tell the other one if there was baseball in heaven. So within a week, the older guy, 98, died. And he appears to the other about 2 days later. He says, hey, good news and bad news. Good news is there's baseball in heaven. Bad news, you're pitching tonight. Put on those pinstripes and you're ready, okay? So death. We got to pray that we have a holy and happy death. After death comes, you know what? Judgment. As soon as you die, judgment. So while we're living right now, we're in the time of God's mercy. But as soon as we die, mercy is over. So take advantage of it now. We're living in the time of God's mercy. As soon as you die, it's over. It's over. So until we live, until we die, we're in God's mercy. You die, mercy is over. And we enter into what's going to happen. We pray. Did you go to Mass? He will come to judge the living and the dead. So you're going to go before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be judged. What are you going to be judged on? Okay. You're going to be judged on your whole life. Your whole life. I see it this way. As soon as you die, it's movie time. It's movie time. It's movie time. Okay? You're going to be a huge white screen like Edward Cinema. There you have it. And Jesus is going to put the DVD in there. And guess who's going to be the major actor in that? And use Shakespearean language, history, tragedy, or is it going to be a comedy? Okay. You're going to be seeing the movie of your life. Is it going to be a G movie? Is it going to be PG? Is it going to be R or triple X? Okay. I thought you'd like that one. So see it that way. And you can't go out to get popcorn for intermission. You can't do that, okay? Or get jujubes or lifesavers, whatever you like, okay? Or a Milky Way bar. No, you can't. Got to stay seated there. Glued to the seat, no? You can't go like this, Lord. Don't look, Lord, from 30 to 50. Uh-oh. Can't blindfold the Lord, no?
That's where they decide where we're going. Smoking or not smoking?
That's a good one. I went to the appreciation dinner the other day, and Bishop O'Connor got up, and he tells a lot of jokes. I like to tell jokes too, you know me by now. And he said, there was this guy, this priest was preaching, and the guy fell asleep during his homily. Oh, no. And the guy said to the little boy, wake up your father. He said, you wake him up, you put him to sleep. I know you like that one. At least in this course you're going to know how to tell jokes, huh? Yes.
Well,
Judge,
even on the sins that we have been shown mercy for?
Great question.
Yes, yes.
Okay, there's going to be what's called the particular judgment and the general judgment. Okay, the general judgment is going to be at the end of the world, all the people, whoever live, are going to come together. And that's Matthew chapter 25, if you want the biblical verse, separating the goats from the sheep, okay? Not to say that you're the goats and you're the sheep, but didn't say that. No, that was your interpretation. Okay? Okay, the goats and the sheep, okay? And I was hungry, I was thirsty. You know the passage, right? Now, before a film comes out in Hollywood, there has to be an editing, then a re-editing, then an editing. It has to be edited probably many times, okay? Good news is that you can edit the film of your life by a good confession. Amen? I like that, huh? So you make a good confession, you cut out the bad scenes. You like that?
Yes.
Cut out the bad scenes. Now, here's a theological question for you. And I think that this is up for grabs. It's not a dogmatic statement. If you have confessed those sins, is Jesus going to show those sins on the day of judgment?
No, because he just forgave us.
Okay, good. Can I express my opinion?
Yeah.
I believe he will.
Oh.
Not to embarrass us, but rather to show how great is his mercy.
Okay.
Now, there you're in the realm. I mean, our Lord could do it. No. My blood is washed. I'm clean. You're not even going to see that. But I believe that people are going to be so impressed by how great his mercy is, we're going to see everything we've ever done. And that our sin is great. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. Romans chapter 5, right? Even though they're embarrassing, but his mercy goes way beyond our iniquity. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. Now, we're going to be judged on... Now, this course is demanding on all of our thoughts... What? Oh, well, okay. All of our thoughts, our words, our deeds, sins of omission, even our most secret intentions.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. Father.
Well, isn't it good to know now before you die?
Yes.
It's good that you're aware of it now.
Yes.
So God, in the Liturgy of the Hours today, says that St. Augustine, beautiful writing of St. Augustine, says that people can read our words, but Jesus can actually read our thoughts and even the movements of our heart. Yeah. Like, when you speak, I can interpret what you're saying. But I can't read your thoughts or the movements of your heart, but Jesus can. St. Augustine says that in one of the readings last week. You know. That's why the saints say we should always try to purify our intentions. AMDG. We're doing everything for the honor and glory of God. Because the action can seem to be good, but maybe our intention is not always that good. We might be doing it for our own self-aggrandizement, our own self-glorification, rather than for the honor and glory of God. So there's you got the particular judgment as soon as you die, and then you have the general judgment at the end of the world. So if you die in the state of grace, then you'll go to heaven with your soul, okay? You might have to go to purgatory before we go with your soul. At the end of the world, your soul is united with your body. So right now in heaven, you only have two individuals who are in heaven in body and soul. They are, Elizabeth? Jesus and Mary.
Yep.
The Ascension and the Assumption. You've heard of those, right? To the mystery of the Rosary. The Ascension, Jesus, went up to heaven. That's what we're celebrating next Sunday, by the way, okay? The Ascension. The Assumption, we celebrate the 15th of August, Mary taken up into heaven in body and soul. All the other saints, they're in heaven with their souls. By the end of the world, they'll be united with their bodies. Okay. Having said that, brace yourselves, because I'm going to be giving you hell now, okay? I'm going to clear out the ranks for next week, huh? Okay, so I'd like to give you as clear a catechesis on this topic as possible. Number one is hell exists. There are Christians, even Catholics, that deny the existence of hell. Hell is a dogma of faith. Okay? So, I could say that this wall does not exist, but I'm going to hit my head into it if I run into it. So, whether or not you deny hell exists or not, it still exists anywhere. That what I'm saying, denying the truth is not going to obliterate the reality of the truth. The truth is the truth. Now, let me give you a foundation. Jesus, who loves us very much, we hear in the gospel today, as our friend, as that was my homily, Jesus is our friend, right? Spoke about heaven. But he spoke much more about hell than he spoke about heaven. Why? How many parents here? Did you ever tell your children not to play with matches? Why? What a mean-spirited mother you are, denying your children liberty, huh? No, you didn't, because you didn't want your kid to get burnt, right? It's not that you're depriving your child of her freedom. You don't want to get burnt. So Jesus has told us, look, don't get burnt. And if some of you are looking at me with a somewhat jaundiced, cynical, skeptical eye, I'll prove it through the Bible. Matthew 25. I was hungry, you didn't give me anything. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. Naked, you didn't clothe me. I was a foreigner, you didn't welcome me. Sick in the prison, you didn't come to visit me. Out of my presence into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25. It's pretty clear, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be rifling biblical verses at you now, okay? Luke 16. You know what that is? No, we're Catholics. We're not Protestants. Okay, well, I was reading your mind, okay? We're Catholics. We're not Protestants. We don't know the Bible. We're Catholics, okay? Well, it's not a bad idea to know the Bible, even verses. Luke 16 is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember that parable? No, Father. There was a rich man that would feast sumptuously every day. Dressed in purple. Outside his gate there was a poor man named Lazarus, who longed to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came to lick his wounds. And what happened was they both died, and the tables were turned, and the rich man was there in tormented in flames, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Father Abraham, Father Abraham, I plead, come and touch my tongue with a little bit of water, because I'm dying of thirst. So I'm giving you a summary of that passage. Now, why did that rich man end up in hell? Not for what he did do, but for what he failed to do. Hello?
Yes, Father.
Sin of omission. Sin of omission. You know why you've heard of John Bosco, right? He said the two principal reasons why people go to hell, sins against purity and for not helping out the poor. John Bosco. Not helping out the poor. Trying to help out the poor in whatever way, we're helping out Christ. Well, you're not convinced yet? I'll rifle another one at you, okay? John 15. You go to Mass last Sunday? Yes, but you forgot it, okay? I'm the vine and you are the branches. My Father is the vine dresser, you are the branches, I am the vine. My Father has called you to produce fruit and fruit in abundance. My Father will come and clip away those branches that don't bear fruit, and they'll be thrown into the fire. Into the fire. What does the fire mean? You're still not convinced. Okay, I'll give you another verse. Boy, this is a hard group to convince, huh? You ever hear the Sermon on the Mount? Say yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
That is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right, Ed? If you say so, okay? Jesus says this. Scandals will enter into the world, but woe to those who scandalize the innocent ones. Woe to those who scandalize the innocent ones. Better them for them to be cast into the depths of the sea with a millstone around his neck. If your eye is an occasion of sin to you, what? If your hand is a sign of occasion of sin for you, if your foot is a sign of scandal for you, what should you do? Cut it off. Better to you enter into eternal life with one eye, one hand, one foot, than enter into the eternal fire of Gehenna. What is Gehenna? That was a garbage dump outside the city of Rome. So we don't understand what the hell, but all the Jewish people knew what that was. That was a garbage dump where they throw the offal, the dead animals, and the trash. There'd be a huge fire with a stench. So Jesus used that. Everyone understood that. So I've given you several verses in which Jesus talks about hell. So Jesus talked about it. He talked about it because he doesn't want us to go to hell. Okay, let's move on to what does the Catechism of the Catholic Church say? Catechism of the Catholic Church says, anyone who dies in the state of mortal sin without repentance has merited by his own actions the eternal separation from God for all eternity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church. The two most authoritative sources we have for truth are the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can't go beyond that. Well, that's not sufficient for you. Okay, how about some private approved apparitions? Our Lady Fatima. Well, you've heard of Our Lady Fatima. I think you have, right? What was the apparition July 13th, 1917? It was a graphic vision that these three children had of hell. Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. Our Lady appears, she opens up her hands, and then the earth opens up and they're able to see the sea of fire. Looked like a lake of fire. You could see these souls falling down like leaves falling off a tree in the middle of autumn in New England, okay? And they could see these souls, they were like, balloons without equilibrium. Some transparent, some were brown, some were black. And they're floating around like helium balloons, blown by the wind. And they could see these hideous animals that were transpiercing these souls. And these hideous animals, they were devils. And the souls were crying out with so much despair that the children said, if Mary were not there, they would have died of fear. This was shown by the Blessed Mother. You say, why would the Blessed Mother do that? Because she loves us. Mary doesn't want us to go to hell. From that moment on, the children were converted. Their conversion came about. They were good kids. They would pray the rosary in obedience to their parents, but this is how they would pray the rosary. We have to pray the rosary. 1, 2, 3. Our Father. Hail Mary, 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 Hail Mary. Gloria. Our Father. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Gloria. Our Father. Hail Mary, 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 Hail Mary. Let's go play now, okay? After the vision of hell, they prayed many rosaries, they offered up many sacrifices, and the penances that they would do would shame us. These are children 8, 9, and 10 years old who couldn't even read and write. I read their sacrifices, I feel ashamed. You know, going through the summer day without drinking a drop of water in the middle of Portugal, 90 degrees humidity, without a drop of water, as you're drinking your water there? Wow. Oh, really? Why did they do it? They were not masochists. They did it to save souls. And Jacinta, you've heard it, they were canonized a year ago. A year ago, in 9 days from today, or a week from today, May 13th. Jacinta, I didn't remember this until I was having a conversation with my mother on the phone. She said, you know, when Jacinta was in the hospital in Lisbon, dying, Our Lady appeared to her and said, are you willing to suffer some more to save souls? And Jacinta says, yes, I will deny the Blessed Mother nothing. A 10-year-old little girl willing to suffer torture, so to speak, and abandoned by her parents. Her parents couldn't travel to Lisbon. They didn't have a car. So abandoned by friends, going through what I call the dark night of the soul of John of the Cross. Yeah. Why? So this is one of my favorite saints. I love this little girl because she loved Mary so much, she loved God so much, and she loved souls, the salvation of souls. That's principle and foundation. Right, Eric? It is. So I've given you hell, okay? You believe in hell?
Yes.
And you're going to be getting also a sheet from the Diary of St. Faustina, number 714, where St. Faustina has a vision of hell. And she speaks of 6 different chastisements of hell. And she said this, I recognize that those who were in hell were those who denied hell. How many are going to deny hell now? She noticed that. Those who denied hell, they were there. So belief in hell sparked within us what is called fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So can we leave hell now? Or do you want to stay there? Okay, let's move out of hell. You meditate upon hell, seriously, you're not going to go there. But try to do the meditation well. Try to imagine you're there, okay? Imagine you're there in hell. Application of sense. You see the fire, you hear the cries, you're actually touched by the fire, you see the devil surrounding you. So, you know, if you're attached to sin, think about that. It's powerful. These children were converted. So will we be. And John of the Cross says, this sparks within us apostolic zeal, a desire to work with God to save souls. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about heaven. We should have a fear of hell, but an even greater desire to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Fear of hell, we should have it. But an even greater desire to go to heaven. What is heaven like? Well, St. Paul says, look, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And Paul says also, the sufferings of the present life are nothing in comparison with the glory that awaits the sons and daughters of God. Okay, this could be an exercise to help you out. Related to what Jesus says in John chapter 14, I'm going now to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you. So God has prepared a mansion for all of you in heaven. All of you have a house prepared in heaven. But you haven't arrived yet. Haven't arrived yet. But you have a house prepared. Now, as a motivation for us to really say no to sin so that we can go to heaven, on a human level, call to mind the happiest day in your life. The happiest morning in your life. The happiest hour in your life. The happiest moment in your life. Now, magnify that 1,000 times and add to it forever and ever and ever. There you have a mere glimpse of what heaven is. I'm thinking, on a personal note, May 25th, 1986. No, I said May 25th, 1986, I was in Rome. I was in the Basilica of St. Peter's. And there about 10:30 in the morning, it was a Sunday, May 25th, it was the Feast of the Blessed Trinity. I was kneeling down. I was 30 years old when I was young. And this man came up to me, dressed in white, with a mitre. He made a big hat on his head. He came up to me, and I was kneeling down, and he placed his hands on my head. Then he prayed over me. And that moment, I was ordained a priest. And the man that did that was John Paul II. That was the happiest day, the happiest morning, the happiest moment in my life was when John Paul II placed his hands on my forehead, and a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's why I have holy hair. More than you. Yeah, more than you.
But holy hair. Father, if I grab one, it's going to be a relic.
That's right, I got a... My barber always tries to save a little bit of that hair.
Which barber do you go, Father? I can ask him for some.
She cuts my hair free of charge, okay?
But tell her to save
one of our catechists, yeah. But if you call to mind the happiest day, the happiest morning, the happiest hour, the happiest moment, magnify that 1,000 times, and forever and ever you have a little glimpse of what heaven is like. So we should long for heaven. If I can speak like a poet, I'll speak like a poet. Who was the great poet of the Bible was the psalmist, right? As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Amen? As the deer yearns for those running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. So we should have a fear of hell, but even greater desire to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Fear of hell, yes. But a real longing like that deer to go to heaven. That's why we're here. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. So I'd like to conclude going through quickly a few more of the rules. We've covered rule 1 to 6. So I'd like to go through rule 7, 8. I'll go through them quickly. Okay, rule 7 is, 7 and 8 is what to do. In desolation. 9 are reasons for desolation. And rule 10 and 11, what should I do in consolation? Okay, rule 7. Okay, I call this the rule of the rule of sufficient grace. Rule of sufficient grace means this. If you're in desolation and you have recourse to rule 6, you obey rule 6, which means you pray, you meditate, a little bit of penance, you examine your conscience, then you can get through it. I call it the rule of sufficient grace. You're not going to find that terminology, but I try to give a terminology in my own words, okay? Sufficient grace means that if we have recourse to God, God will pull us out of the desolation. Okay? Do you believe it?
Yes.
If you pray, you meditate, you're faithful to God, God's going to pull you out. He'll dissipate that desolation, but you got to be faithful. If you give up your prayer, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost if you give up prayer. Okay, rule A is the rule of patience. It's called the rule of patience. When you're desolate, you got to be patient. You got to be patient. God will pull you up, but God may be proving to you you're not as patient as you thought you were. Okay? That lady would pray, give me patience right now. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not always the way it works, okay? Okay, now rule 9, why do we have desolation? One is our own fault, and the other is God allows it to bring, as I said at the beginning of my homily at 12 o'clock, God allows evil to bring good out of it, okay? Okay, number 9, one of the reasons why we do have desolation, it's our fault, is because we're negligent in our spiritual practices. We don't do our holy hour. Our holy hour becomes 45 minutes. We're cutting corners. We're not praying our rosary. We're not praying the chaplet. You know, we're lukewarm. Okay, we're falling into lukewarmness or tepidity. So God allows that to pull us out of that state. Another reason is why now these are the reasons God allows it to happen. So they recognize that we cannot bring consolation on ourselves. That depends upon God. Okay? God will give a consolation when, where, and the duration and the intensity, that He knows what's best for us. And the third reason, and I'm quoting John of the Cross now, we have to seek the God of consolations and not the consolations of God. Okay? spiritual gluttony. What I'm saying is this, okay, you had a holy hour in which, you had a lot of consolation. A lot. The following day you go, especially for the consolation, okay? Well, the consolation is secondary. What's most important is faithfulness. You got to be faithful. So you have consolation or not, okay, fine. But it's key, you got to be faithful. Day in and day out. So those are three reasons for why we have desolation. Okay, now rule 9 and rule 10 and 11 is this. What do we do? What should we do or avoid when we're in consolation? So up to this point, we've been talking about, we've given you five rules related to desolation. But what about consolation? Remember what that is. You feel increase of faith and hope and charity. You feel peace and joy. You feel drawn to heavenly things. You really want to become a saint. There's like a honeymoon within, okay? Okay, rule number 10. Are you ready? You're all going to laugh at this. You're ready, right?
Yes.
When you're in consolation, rule 10, prepare yourself for desolation. That's Ignatius. When you're in consolation, prepare yourself for desolation, because we can become spiritually complacent. So when you're in consolation, you got to prepare yourself, because maybe right around the corner, God could allow desolation. So we're in spiritual warfare. Spiritual combat. I like to use sports analogies. When you're winning a boxing match, don't let those guards down. Swift uppercut. Okay. Or the KO. Or any of you know anything about baseball, if you know anything about baseball, you know it means insurance runs. Any of you know baseball language? No? Insurance runs means this, okay? If you're winning, you're winning 4-3, get a couple more runs. Why? Because 4-3, bottom of the ninth, man on first base, home run, you lost 5-4. Yeah. I was watching a little bit of baseball the other day. The Yankees did against the against the Astros, huh? They're losing 5-3, then Miguel Andujar got up and he pounded the ball. 3-run shot. The Yankees won 6-5. Yeah, they beat the world champs, right? Maybe they became a little bit complacent, no? So in a certain sense, we have to be like these athletes. We always have to reserve enough energy and extra run so that we're not going to be caught off guard and we're going to be losing it in the last moment. Or you ever run cross country, sometimes they win only the last second, last 2 seconds. I used to run races. I mean, you can be behind the whole race, and then you pour it on, and you break the tape. Maybe saw the movie Chariots of Fire. I mean, he won that race only by a split second. So in consolation, prepare yourself for the battle. Reserve strength and energy to win the battle. Okay, then number 11, Saint Ignatius says, when you're in consolation. You got a lot of peace, a lot of joy, you have a lot of lights, a lot of insight. Ignatius says, in consolation, he says also, humble yourself. Because you might feel, well, I have all this consolation. Boy, I'm a saint. I am a modern Teresa of Avila. I'm a great mystic. I'm a great saint. And look at my husband. He's floundering in no man's land. I'm having vision of the Blessed Trinity. I'm levitating, and he's swatting flies. No. So Jesus, Ignatius says, humble yourself. God loves the virtue of humility. So we've tried to give you as much as we possibly can in the short time that we have. So let's pray for the grace to recognize the consequences of sin, be aware of the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And let's try to get to know these rules, but also to put them into practice. Amen.
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 Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless and have a great week.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast probed my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way: buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.